welcome to Share Talk. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Christian Schaffelitzky, who is the Managing Director and CEO of Eurasia Mining PLC, the ticker for which is EUA. How are you today, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. Looking forward to speaking to you.
Thank you for taking the time to speak to me. Would you like to give our listeners sort of an initial brief overview, first of all, your company and your board of directors, please?
Certainly. Eurasia Mining's been around for quite some time, actually, although we've had a big change in business strategy during that period. It was actually one of the first mining companies to be listed on AIM in 1996, but the business changed completely in 2001 to what we're doing now, which is platinum and gold in Russia. And the board also changed at the time, and including me when I arrived in the early 2000s. But our chairman, Dr. Michael Martineau, has been there for some time. He's a former director of AngloGold Ashanti and First Quantum, and he himself developed and founded several mining ventures, in particular one called Samax, which was sold out to AngloGold Ashanti, in fact, for $140 million back in the 90s. And then we have myself as CEO. I've been around as well quite a while, a geologist like my chairman. And I've been working on a number of junior mining companies. And before that, I worked for a major. And indeed, I also founded an exploration consultancy, geological consultancy, which is still going today, called CSA Global. I used to be the S. And then we have... amongst the executives, we have CFO Michael de Villiers, who's also chairman of Ariana Resources, in working on a gold mine in Turkey. He's a professional accountant. And then we have Dmitry Sushov, a non-executive director, but a big shareholder in the company with 20%. And he is a Russian who's worked in M&A and in the resource sector for many years. And finally, Gary Fitzgerald, who is a former fund manager. So, if you like, this board has been is quite technically biased. You know, we're very much hands-on people, and we've been working hard to make Eurasia a success.
Obviously, you brought up the historical changes around the company. Could you just highlight that in more detail so people know where it is you've come from? Why the change in direction, and why the change, obviously, to those specific minerals?
Yeah, well, the company was founded with the idea of developing two gold deposits in Russia back in 96, and unfortunately that fell through due to the ruble collapse in 98 when the currency crashed, and business became quite impossible for 12 to 18 months. And at that time, the company lost its interests in the two gold projects it was trying to develop due to lack of funds and because of the unstable economy in Russia. So the board changed completely at that time and refocused on working on platinum group metals, in particular in Russia. And the company began by having a joint venture with Anglo Platinum, the South African largest platinum producer in the world. And we had a joint venture with them from 2001 through to 2014, where basically they funded exploration and we were their arm in Russia doing the work. So that was very much the new direction for the company.
So with this new direction with the company and the new board of directors in place, you have three potentially exciting projects and all at various stages, obviously, of development. So could you give us some background to
certainly. The project we've been working on the longest is the West Kitlam alluvial platinum project in the Urals, which we took from exploration through to development through to mining last year. We commenced trial mining in the second half of last year, and we now look forward to a full year's production this year with equipment moving on site as we speak, and to begin work. I mean, for the season, it's a seasonal operation. Alluvial mining, you have to wait until the snows are melting, and indeed until the water is no longer frozen, because it's a washing, a gravel washing operation. And so we expect production to begin in sort of April, May, and but obviously we can do earth moving and preparatory work now. So that has begun for this year's operations. And then the second project is a potentially large bedrock platinum group metal project up in the Kola Peninsula, close to the border with Finland. And there we have just been filing a reserves approval application with the Russian government, and that will take several months. And when we hope that that would be successful, so that we then would be in a position to develop a much larger platinum palladium project in Kola. That project's called Monchy Tundra, and again, we worked on that for a number of years to take it to fruition. And then thirdly, we've been examining gold in tailings. Tailings are the waste from previous mining operations, and there's quite a bit of gold left in this particular tailings, which we would like to extract to as efficiently as possible. And we've just completed test work on that and have shown that it can be done profitably. And now we're looking at how best to finance the development of that particular project and turn it into a mine. So in summary, we have West Kytlim mining this year. We have the Semenovsky tailings project as potentially being developed this year. And then thirdly, the much bigger project in Monchy Tundra, which could be a large mining operation in several years' time, but it's a longer term development.
So obviously, the most exciting and one that's currently going into production, your West Kytlim. You obviously touched on the fact that it's a seasonal mine area. How many months of the year are you planning to do mining there?
Basically, as soon as the water is running, to put it as simply as possible, as soon as there's running water, we can begin mining, and that's sometime in April. And then, on the basis of, say, last year, we actually continued mining right up to the beginning of December, which is unusual. Normally, mid-November would be the cutoff date for the freeze-up in the Urals. The winter is not as severe in the Urals as it is further east, in Siberia, where it can be a much longer and colder winter than it is in the Urals. But it's cold enough. I mean, obviously, it freezes up completely. But we
I've
still
just had
expect.
a look at the temperature scales when I was investigating your company,
Yes.
and average temperature is about minus 20 in the winter, Siberia,
Yeah.
minus 50 to minus 60 for nine
Yeah,
months of the year.
that's right. Yeah. There's quite a contrast there. So, it does warm up quite well, and in fact, in the summer it's typically between 20 and 30 degrees Celsius. So, that's quite a nice summer. And obviously we can work 24 hours a day on the mining operation. So, it's quite straightforward once the freeze-up is over.
Yes. Could you detail us on the programmed work there? Obviously, the mining work is contracted out to SKRS,
Yes.
and how does that work in relation to the amount of
Yeah, it's
money
an
you put
unusual.
in?
It's quite an unusual arrangement, but we did this because we didn't want to burden shareholders with a heavy equity dilution to fund the development of the project. So what we did instead was we found a contractor willing to do the capital investment for the equipment, and set up the operation on site, the camp, the laboratory, accommodation, and so on, as well as the mobile equipment, which is mainly what it is. It's mobile equipment which we move around, stockpiling the gravels, washing the gravels, and so on. And all that the contractor agreed to support. And in return, we do the geology, maintain control on the reserves. We collect the concentrate and bring it to the refinery. Receive the finance, the receive the return from the refinery of the cash for the metal, and then we distribute it between us in the ratio of 70% to the contractor and 30% to ourselves. And I want to make it absolutely clear that this is a 70-30 split of revenue, not profits. So we are now, if you like, completely immune to whatever the operating costs are because they don't touch us. So the more efficient he is, the more money he makes. But in our case, the more he can produce, the more money we make, obviously. But it's painless in the sense that we have no risk. Our shareholders are insulated from the risk of the capital equipment, any breakdowns, and so on.
That's why I wanted you to highlight that, because the markets, the investors seem to have missed the specific setup of that deal. Now, with most platinum mines looking for joint ventures of between 10 and 20%, to have the fact that you've got that in place plus the protection for the company seems to be a a massive
Well,
deal for you?
in the current market, it was the best solution for us. I mean, obviously it would be great if we could raise capital efficiently and borrow from the banks and so on, but it has been really tough in the mining sector for the past 5 years, and that really wasn't a viable option. Of course, you could do it, but very expensive. So it was better that we come up with this particular model.
In regards to the grades and potential outlay there, in regards to getting the raw product out, what are the hopes and expectations?
Yes, at the moment we have one as of we finished last year, we had one wash plant up and running. It is the expectation that by the second half of this year we will have a second washing plant put in place, and then over the next few years we'll build to having three and then four washing plants, which means that the productivity will be four times what it is this year. And that is the goal of both the contractor and ourselves. And we can sustain an operation of 12 to 15 years at that highest rate based on the reserves that are in place, and also assuming that some of the resources which we have to bring forward to from resource to reserve, that also is reasonably successful. One other thing we did was that the contractor wanted to have exclusivity so that he had the confidence to invest in, say, up to four wash plants and all the equipment involved. And so we gave him exclusivity in return for him paying the one bill we didn't cover in the previous agreement of just the 70-30 split of revenue, whereby he also fronts up the cash required to do the drilling that will take those resources into the reserve category, because we have to continually do this from a permitting point of view with the government. So we've further insulated the shareholders from the cash drain that would otherwise result from having to do the continuing exploration for the next 3 years.
Excellent. Sounds like a good project and a good deal in place there.
It's very simple. It's not huge, but it will provide cash flow to the company to the point where we will be a profitable mining company in a relative. I'm not supposed to make predictions, but we expect to become profitable in the near future. It's probably the best thing I can say.
Definitely. In regards to your Monchi Tundra project, then, obviously you've got a reserves report and you've got the mine feasibility study filed towards the end of last year. Could you tell us some more about those particular
Yeah, I mean,
items?
basically the steps involved are with the government is that you have an exploration license, you work it up, you provide you if you've been successful, you have reserves that you have measured and you submit then for approval to the government. And those reserves then go through an assessment by committee in dialogue with us, and they critique it and we respond, and all that process takes a number of months. And if we're successful, the reserves are approved, and we're then allowed to apply for a discovery certificate. In other words, we are recognized as the people who have put those reserves on the state balance, because that's what the reserve process approval is about. It's putting the reserves on the state on state record or state balance, as they call it. And then with a discovery certificate, you're now you have the exclusive right to apply for a mining license. And so all that procedure we expect will take at least 15 months. That's based on a sort of historical assessment of previous licensing timescales for other people like ourselves. And so we would hopefully be in a position that sometime in 2018 we'll be able to turn around and say, okay, we're now ready to build a mine and a plant to process the ore from the two deposits that we've identified during our exploration phase. And as you may, as shareholders were also surprised when we announced that we'd actually signed a contract with a Chinese engineering group to basically build the plant on our behalf. We gave them exclusivity to do that with a budget of $176 million to build a full-scale mine for this particular project. And included in the 176 was a loan facility of $150 million approximately, which means that the bulk of the financing required to make this mine is already put in place. We would be hopeful that we can find the balance of the funds, which is actually a more a cash flow problem, because within the $176 million contract with Sinosteel, there is a facility for a $50 million credit back to the company for works that will be carried out in the early phases of the development, where we act as a subcontractor to Sinosteel. And, you know, while we will have to find, say, 24, 25 million to put on the table at the time of the development commencement, we expect that this will be partly repaid as the mine is built from this cashback facility within the contract with Sinosteel. And then the best part of all is that this loan, which the 150 million loan that is within the contract with Sinosteel, it sits on their balance sheet until such time as the mine has been commissioned. And once they have passed the main performance indicators for the mine, they then pass the debt and the project over to us for management and continuing work. And we're now looking, obviously, at finding the funding gap, and we have spoken to one group at least, you know, who would look at it as a royalty type of contract, which is one option. And also we would like to find an engineering group that would also stand in as owner's team to look after the Sinosteel contract and then ultimately develop the deposit on our behalf. So these are all things we're doing now as in parallel with getting the reserves approved.
In regards obviously to the reserves, due to the location, what is the geology of that region? What has drawn your attention to that site? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's an interesting question because the Kola Peninsula or Murmansk Oblast in the Russian regional geography is a region which is famous for its copper and nickel mines. And these have been running since the 1930s. And there are two refineries, in fact, base metal refineries for those metals up in that region. One of them, which is only 5 kilometers from our license area. And they're currently owned by Norilsk Nickel. And those projects are largely very mature and coming to the end of their lives. So the future of the refinery is actually one of the questions that everybody will be asking in the near future. And at the moment, we see this as a potential buyer of any product from the type of platinum group metal mines we are looking at. And platinum had only been explored for in recent years, separate from the base metals nickel and copper, because it wasn't on anybody's idea of exploration at the time until about the late 90s. And now at this stage, there's probably about half a dozen projects which have reached, shall we say, identification and some form of initial resource estimate. But we are the only active project at the present time, despite the fact that there are other potential deposits in the region. And I am quite confident that this region in the Kola Peninsula will be a big PGM producer in the future. There aren't many places in the world which has that type of resource base, and it's really quite exciting for the region that there will be a likely activity to replace the base metal mines. It'll be PGM mines.
In regards to the historic mines in the area that are closing down, will that enable you to have a workforce ready at hand that's already existing in the area?
Well, in fact, the infrastructure for mining in this region is excellent in that not only is there a refinery next door to our license area, but there's also a city of 50,000 people. So labor is not an issue. In fact, there are other mines also in the region. There's quite a big rare earth and lithium project to 60, 70 kilometers to the southeast, and the big iron mine 30 kilometers to the north. And so it's very much a mining region. There's a big power plant, a nuclear power station up again within the region that's running below capacity. And there is, rail, power lines, tarmac road from Murmansk City down to St. Petersburg goes right past our license. So, you know, this is a very unusual infrastructure for a project like this in Russia. Mostly they're out in the taiga or in the tundra. But in this case, we're quite close to civilization.
Okay. Now, to touch on your third project, which is your Semenovsky tailings project,
mm-hmm.
Obviously you're looking at recovering gold from that mine waste, from the tailings there. Could you go further into why that area, what the grades are, and what
yes.
the sort of forward working project is?
Yeah. Gold and tailings was actually something that was people hit on when the gold price jumped in the 1980s. And people went back to look at the tailings simply because earlier processing was not as efficient as the later ones, you know, and later, you know, more modern technology works on much higher recoveries from ores in general than was the case in the past. And so these tailings were generated over a 50-year period starting in the 30s from three different mines, and the grade of the tailings is consistently 1 gram per ton, which is very rich for a tailings. And for that reason, that's why we decided to look at it. And the reason why this particular tailings hadn't been worked previously was because the recovery from the tailings that are at the surface was rather poor. But when you did a systematic estimate across the entire tailings, we now are looking at recoveries between 40 and 50%, which is more than adequate to make it a payable project. It's not a huge deposit. It's roughly three and a half tons of gold in situ. And if we recover 50%, that would give you a rough idea of what we actually recover with a project life of maybe 8 or 9 years. We haven't finished doing the details of how it will be worked. But the technology we'll apply will probably be as simple as possible to keep the operating costs as low as possible. And we will, you know, we're working on that right now.
In regards to the work program, obviously you're entered into a contract and a joint venture with Metal Tiger PLC.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain how that work program?
Well, it's very simple at this stage. You know, they basically had a right to participate 50-50 in any new projects we did in Russia, and they decided to follow this particular one, and they've done so up to now. And you know, obviously, we will be reviewing with Metal Tiger the plans. Now we're getting into the serious development phase. You know, because the next stage would be detail engineering, you know, plant design, and then of course financing. So all that remains to be decided with Metal Tiger.
Okay. So in regards to the history of that plant then, could you touch a little bit on that?
The history of the old plant, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, the old plant at the moment consists just of a gravity circuit, and there's been some sporadic mining from a small open pit nearby that going into a second tailings pond adjacent to the one we are looking at. So we don't intend to go near the old plant because, of course, it has historical issues regarding, put it this way, it's not a very clean site. And we prefer to work on our own site where we're only responsible for what we're doing now and not what happened over the last 50 years. So it's quite important, I think, from an environmental point of view that we keep a clean and separate operation, which is the way we intend to do it.
So you are purely just going to be looking at that tailings area?
Yes, that's right. And, you know, the whole approach to the project will be as if it was a new plant. The old plant, we won't go near. We don't own it in any case, or we don't have a right to use it. But we wouldn't want to.
But that's the best way then. It would be a shame if you wanted to use it and you couldn't.
Yes, exactly.
Right, Christian, is there anything further you would like to add?
No, I think I've just summarized by saying, you know, we've gone through some very difficult years. It's been really hard to keep the show on the road, and many of our junior mining companies in our sector have had the same experience. But we can now see the future for the company with, you know, regular cash flow annually for the next 12 to 15 years. You know, it'll be a different company in the next 12 to 18 months.
Are you happy with, obviously, the commodity sector as it is? Do you believe there's a lot further upside to come from the metals?
Oh, yeah. Precisely for the reason that really there have been a couple of reasonable years, but in general, if I said that the industry has been in the dumps since 2009, I wouldn't be wrong. In other words, the crash that happened then in 08, 09, really we haven't recovered properly at all from that. And that applies in particular to the platinum group metals, where they've been rather, you know, have been very poor pricing. And as a result, mines have closed or are being threatened to close. And that, of course, helps us new kids on the block. There's a bit of, you know, there's upside in the space. You know, the platinum market, for instance, has been in deficit for 4 years. And the only thing that has kept the price down has been stockpiles of both platinum and palladium, which have been fed to the market and kept the prices relatively low. But that period is coming to an end. Those stockpiles have disappeared. So, you know, we expect improved pricing for both those metals.
Excellent. Christian, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you and listening to what you've got to say about your projects, and I wish you all success from this year and forward.
Yeah, thank you very much.